Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday, Hollow Cult. You know what that means. We're here to hang out with you.
Work week.
Work week. We're here to
lame.
Kick it. Hopefully get you through it.
Kick it and stick it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they can do with the work week. I'm diving into another, I don't know.
I'm excited.
Extraterrestrial, maybe a cryptid. I don't know.
I'm excited because this is legitimately one of the weirdest fucking episodes I think Steve has ever brought to my attention. And if you think the Sandown Cloud was weird, I don't know that he holds a candle to this one.
Yeah, if you hated the Santa Claus was a cryptid episode, you're going to really be mad when we dive into the Michelin Man. But we got to get through all the business first, so that was your little lead in if you don't like waiting. We're going to talk about Michelin Man encounters.
I'm excited.
It's going to be great.
It sounds asinine, I promise.
It is. No buts, it is.
It's really good. Because I saw the old artwork of the Michelin Man, and it's solid.
He's a gangster.
It's solid.
He is a gangster. We got to get through the business first, so check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit, search up the Hollow Sky Podcast, and you will find us there. Come be part of the community. Join the Hollow Cult. It's a fun time. If you have a paranormal encounter or experience that you'd like for us to share on our Thursday shows of the listener experience, Kyle's got some info that you're going to want.
Yeah, I found it on the side of a tire. It's simple. First off, it's always going to be in the show notes, so check that shit out. Also, if you want us to talk about your crazy encounter, you can just email it to us. And then you're going to get your own episode about it whenever we get around to it. However, if your encounter is crazy long or just crazy, crazy, maybe give us a little bit of a teaser and you can come on the show and talk about it. We'll do that too. We mention it and then it just kind of stays lackluster. But we're going to try to do that stuff more often. But we'll see how it goes.
If you'd like to support the show, there's plenty of ways to do it. You can check us out over at Patreon, search up Hollow Sky Podcast. It's in the link tree. We got tons of cool stuff over there. Extra episode, early episodes, ad-free episodes, AI band, music, all kinds of cool stuff. I will note today that there are extra Michelin Man encounters that I'm going to be recording and putting over there because once I started diving into this, tons of people have seen this thing.
It's weird that it's not more talked about if there's that many encounters.
It's weird that I haven't seen it yet.
Also true. Valid point.
Because that'd be awesome. But yeah, I'm going to record that and get that popped over whenever this drops. A little bit of extra goodies over there. Oh, you can check us out at hollowskypodcast.com. We got a merch store over there. You can go look at all kinds of cool stuff we have. T-shirts, hats, stickers, all kinds of goodies. Best thing you can do is share the show. Word of mouth, post it up on the socials, just get some stickers and vandalize stuff, all kinds. I'm not like promoting vandalism, but I'm not going to tell you not to do it.
I heard that one click. You're like, wait a minute, yeah. Let's reel it back.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you not to, okay? So that's I'm no moral compass for anyone, but it will help the show, and that's important.
Well, yeah.
You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's not vandalism. It's advertisement.
True. True. Yeah.
It's like a billboard, right?
Yeah. Anything can be a billboard if you're a van. It's if true. You're into vandalism enough.
It's true.
Yeah, but go to wherever you listen to podcasts, your podcatcher, and you can leave us a 5-star rating and review. And when I find it, I'll gladly shout you out. Today's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend, Alctina02. Tina says 5 stars. Wait, what? This podcast is too wicked. Can't stop listening. Finally decided to try it when I heard you on the Uncomfortable Podcast. Keep up the greatness and stay weird.
Too wicked.
Too wicked. We are too wicked, actually.
This is true. Because we are number 2 in what country?
Malawi.
Malawi, that's right.
Yeah, we were number 1.
We dropped
one. I get it.
Dropped one. I get it. They needed a break. It was too much for them to mentally handle.
Yeah, it's a lot for me to handle. But shout out to whoever is over there. I didn't even know it was a country. Looked it up. It's in like East Africa. if you're still listening, which we're number two, so I'm hoping you are, shout out.
Yeah.
Whatever you got going on over there, punching zebras, just kicking it, listening to the intro, just vibing. We appreciate you.
Absolutely.
And we appreciate Alctino, too, for giving us some kind words to Wicket. Shout out to Eric and Uncomfortable.
For sure.
Hope he's doing well. This is going to be a good time. Speaking of good time, have you ever seen the Michelin Man?
I have not, other than advertisements for the tire.
Same.
Outside of that, no, not. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Up to this point, I didn't know anyone that was afraid of the Michelin Man. And I didn't realize it was probably going to be a fear that I'm going to unlock in some of you, but here we are.
I feel like he reminds me a lot of the Stay Puft.
That's exactly what I got in here. 100%.
I mean, it's right there. It's like right on par, so.
Yeah. So for those of you who aren't familiar with this particular icon, the Michelin Man, I'll give you a little rundown. The Michelin Man, also known as Bibendum, I didn't know he had like a legit name, which interestingly enough is a... Bibendum comes from one of the OG posters back in like 1894. This artist drew it for some other promotion. The guys who created the Michelin tire saw it and they're like, hey, that's dope. And then they took the Latin from the poster, which I think translates into the time it is now, or the time now is to drink. And they're like, yeah, we'll name it Bibendum. Not knowing that the Latin didn't translate at all. They're just like, that's kind of a dope name. But yeah. So he does have a name, Bibendum.
I feel like that's how we all name our kids. So
yeah. He's the mascot for Michelin tires. He's been around for about 125 years and extremely well known around the world. In the US, you can still find him flexing on the side of your tire, your Michelin brand tires. And in other countries, they even like perch him on top of the Michelin trucks. I've seen some pictures. Basically, he looks like a white stack of tires with arms and legs that are also stacked tires.
Yeah, but it's not really tires. I feel like they're way littler than tires.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you're going like old school tires where they are thin, then okay.
Which is probably what they were going for back then.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah. So he's basically in the form of a stacked tire man.
It's so ridiculous.
It's like Kyle said, it's kind of reminiscent of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. The origins of the Michelin Man can be traced 4 years before he was actually drawn, when the Michelin brothers Edouard and André of France attended the Lyon Universal Expedition in 1894. Legend has it that on noticing a pile of tires at the Michelin stand, Edward remarked to his brother, "Look, with arms and legs, it would make a man."
Wow.
Yeah.
That is deep.
I said, hey.
That's fucking deep.
Let's make this tire man.
Also, what did you ever stumble across what he was originally, like what type of ad he was originally drawn for? With the Latin name Bibendum or whatever it was?
It was some sort of drink, ad. Like King Edward something. I read it, but I didn't write it down.
Because regardless, that's still really, it's really bizarre that in a drink ad, you would have a entity pictured that way.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything that this would make a good logo.
And the fact that it has a Latin mascot. A Latin tie is weird.
Yeah.
But outside of him being drawn as a stack of tires, like I don't see the relevance to a drink like a cocktail.
I don't know. It was the 1800s.
Yeah, I was going to say they had more fun back then.
People are wild.
Yeah, yeah.
In 1898, the Michelin's concept was first painted by the poster artist O'Gallop, the alias of the cartoonist Marius Rawson. Many of the posters from the earliest 20th century depict him as a somewhat sinister figure. Large, he's got a monocle, and he's always smoking a fat-ass stogie.
All right.
On that note, I did pull up some of these old posters. I want to shout out homie over at Shrouded Hand. on YouTube. Go check him out. Does incredible stuff about some weird ass shit. I referenced some of his encounters on this episode, but he breaks down these old Michelin Men posters and it had me cracking up.
They're pretty solid.
Yeah, there's one that's super sinister. It's got him standing in the background and he's just puppeting all these humans. Like they're literally connected to these puppeteer strings and he's just kind of making them do whatever he wants to do, which I don't know what that has to do with tires.
I was going
to
say, you know, was that drawn at a time when he was actually affiliated with tires?
I don't know. Probably. Because this one, he's got a top hat and a cane and he's just kicking the shit out of two robbers.
I mean, because it's cool.
Yeah.
But he looks like a goober.
Yeah. Well, he looks like he's going to just, he's just knocking. Look at that dude in the background.
You know what it looks bleeding. Like? It looks like the dude.
He knows karate.
Well, that. But it looks like the dude from Monopoly dressed up in some protective clothing and wanted to be Batman.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's one where a family's got a flat tire on their old, I'm going to say, Model T Ford, and they're just pulling the guts out of the Michelin Man to fix their tire. And
who is also smoking.
He's smoking a fat stogie. He's got his spectacles on. He's just having a good time. He's like, yeah, just take my guts. Just
I got you, fam.
Yeah. Even more weird, as Shrouded Hand put it, here's one where the Michelin Man, he's in the Roman Colosseum. He has successfully beat the shit out of three mummies, and he's standing on the throat of another one, which... if it's in the Colosseum, that probably puts him at like 1500 years old. So he is probably some sort of ancient deity.
And he's got a wheel as a shield.
Yes. Yes.
It's pretty interesting. Cause there's not a whole lot of difference looking between him and the mummies.
No, but he's beating the shit out of them. Here's one where he is at a big table and he is just drinking a martini glass full of old nails, horseshoes, and broken glass.
Makes sense.
Got a fat stove. Got a pinky ring. Got that pinky ring on him. Here's one where he's just squatting over a giant traffic jam. Not sure what he's got going on. Not sure what his plan is, but it probably isn't that good.
No.
What else we got here? This is probably my favorite. It's a POV of the bottom of his boot while getting karate kicked in the face. He's got his stogie just burning. He's got a leopard print Speedo on. I don't know why he has this.
This is my guy.
Me and Kyle got an idea. We may buy one of these prints, sign it, and do some kind of giveaway on the Patreon.
What's on the bottom of his boot?
Probably old pennies.
That's what it looks like. Is pennies to me.
I don't know. Why does a tire man got a leopard skin Speedo on?
Also, valid point.
But yeah, so you want to look up old Bibendum advertisements and look up the costumes people wore because it is more terrifying than ever actually seeing this.
The costumes are creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole ass band of people playing in Michelin Man costume. They're ripping, first off.
It's scary.
So yeah, maybe I'll post some of these on the Patreon. It is that thing is fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that kind of gives you a rundown of what the Michelin Man is. He's been around for a long time. Roman times when he's stomping out mummies. So a mascot shouldn't be too terrifying. Then I started stumbling upon people that actually are seeing a similar creature, oftentimes related to UFOs. So well, this
that's weird.
Brings us to a point to where, like, is the Michelin Man a cryptid? Is the Michelin Man a extraterrestrial? Are extraterrestrials, like me and Kyle were talking, did the aliens get here and see, like, a picture of the Michelin Man and be like, man, this must be an integral mascot of the human race. Let's mimic it.
You know, I really hope so. I hope that's the case for just the simple fact that would make aliens dumb.
It's almost like Ghostbusters. Like, yeah. think whatever you think of will be your destroyer. And then they think of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, yeah.
The aliens are like, I see this on the side of this truck.
I love that idea so much that they are so stupid. They fly down, and like you said, they just become wild. Like, oh, man, we see this.
This dude is fly.
Yeah, like he is everywhere. He must be some type of god king on this planet. What better thing to turn into?
Yes, yes.
I hope that is the case.
So, lucky for you guys, I've compiled some actual documented sightings of our good friend Bibendum.
The fact that there's so many of them is alarming.
Oh, bro, we usually try to keep right around 2,500 words for an episode. On this alone, I got 3,500 words, and I got 5,000 more I'm going to record for the Patreon.
That is insanity to me.
People are seeing this. I want to cite Cryptid Wiki, Phantom and Monsters by Lon Strickler, Shrouded Hand, of course, on YouTube, a big study at Blogspot. There's a lot of, once you start diving through this looking glass that is the Michelin Man, you start finding some stuff. So here we go. 1960, Spain. Don Miguel Timmermans Caballos was riding his motorcycle from Prado del Rey to Jerez when he discerned a strange human-like being about 500 feet away on a short, steep, uphill decline on the highway that was ahead of him. He describes the being as follows. He was completely red from head to foot, suddenly appeared at the edge of the highway, rather tall, something like 6 to 7 feet or more, having trouble walking, and his walking was like a mechanical doll. That's to say, like a robot with stiff arms. Timmerman stopped his motorcycle, surprised at what he was ready to see, but he also kind of wanted to get a better view of what was going on. The humanoid was walking along the edge of the road. After it took about 6 steps, another similar individual walks out from the weeds, following him. Like the one before him, it appeared suddenly. The second Michelin-like humanoid was not so tall, said only about 3 to 4 feet. Though he was also dressed in red, he had one difference in the respect to his predecessor. He had a black boot on. The witness does not remember if the boot was on the left foot or the right foot, but he certifies that this is what it was when he saw it. The two humanoids crossed the highway at an angle due to the fact that at the time that this route was of white earth, the driver perceived the red of their garments with all clarity, as well as the ringed outlines of the beings. He described it as having the classic shape of the Michelin Man, which has been reported in many type 1 cases in different parts of the world. Type 1, I'm assuming, are the different classification of entities. I know in our humanoid encounter books, they have type 1, type 8.
Right, yeah.
Timmerman decided to get a closer look while he debated with himself over the danger and entailed on his decision, so he again started up his vehicle. On reaching the curve of the highway to head toward the slope where the humanoids were located, they disappeared in the same mysterious manner that they had appeared. The witness had taken a few short moments to arrive there, but the entities were no longer in sight. The time of the observation from the first look as to when they disappeared was over 30 seconds, which is a pretty good...
It's a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
I hate the fact that, in this case, I hate the fact that they're red, but I also hate the fact that when you're describing this to me and you talk about the one that comes out of the bush or whatever with one boot on, insane. It's one of them insane details that almost makes you want to believe the story more because it's such a ridiculous detail to remember. Furthermore, it bothers me that right away I think about the scene from Terminator 2 when he gets there and he's naked and he goes up to that biker and he's like, give me your clothes. That's what I'm feeling right now.
I went a different route. I pictured like one of those broken foot walking boots, considering that the Michelin Man spends so much time just beating the hell out of everyone.
Well,
could have fractured a heel.
That's fair. That's fair.
Especially he was a little guy too.
That's true.
You gotta make up for your height than just absolute rage. So The witness told the reporter that there had been, if there had been someone else with him, he would have proposed to get off of his motorcycle and go after the two beings in the vicinity. But since he was alone, two on one, one's got a karate boot on, gonna back off.
Of course he did. I mean, I feel like that's typical tough guy talk.
If things would have been different, things would have been different.
Yeah, if I wouldn't have been outnumbered, come on, my guy.
1968, Island of Reunion. Another incident occurred on the Island of Reunion in the Indian Ocean between Mauritius and Madagascar in an area known as a bunch of words I can't pronounce. The similar sighting was made on July 31st, 1968, around 9 a.m. A local farmer named M. L. Fontaine reported the following event. Quote, I was at the 21-kilometer mark in a small clearing in the middle of the forest of acacia trees that morning, and I was bending down, picking some grass for my rabbits, when I suddenly saw a sort of oval-shaped cabin in the clearing. It was 25 meters from me, and as though suspended at the height of about 4 to 5 meters off the ground. The extremities of it were dark blue, the center part lighter, more transparent, like the windshield of a Peugeot 404. I probably pronounced that wrong. Car people, don't attack me. Above and below it had what looked like two glass feet of shining metal. In the center of the cabin were two individuals with their backs toward me. The one on the left turned around and faced me. He was standing small, about 90 centimeters in height, enveloped from head to toe in sort of a one-piece overall, bit-type suit, also reminiscent of the one worn by the Michelin Man. The one on the right simply turned its head around toward me. But all the same, I had time to glimpse its face, which was partly masked out by some sort of helmet. Then both turned their backs to me. There was a flash, as strong as the electric arc of a welding machine. Everything went white around me. A powerful heat was given off, and then there was some sort of blast of wind. A few seconds later, there was nothing. Then I approached the spot as to where the object had been. There were no marks. The object had a diameter of 4 to 5 meters and was about 1.5 meters measured from the bottom to the top. It was of a bluish color with white on the upper and lower parts. I told my wife about it. And then the gendarmerie? I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
Is that?
He said everyone believed me when I told them what I had seen.
So
UFO, this, Michelin Man, little guys.
With this one, I do kind of get the vibe of era appropriate space / flight gear. You know what I'm saying? Like, because he describes it as a suit that something or someone is wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really think about it, you could see back in that era, the old era, somebody making a flight suit, space suit that would loosely match that description.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at our old diving suits, kind of similar.
Right. And it, because like they made stuff kind of cheesy back then.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's be fair, the Michelin Man is kind of cheesy.
I'm going to tell him you said that. He's going to karate kick you.
I kind of said it on purpose in hopes that maybe he shows up.
If he's wearing a Speedo, I'm leaving.
A leopard one at that.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't trust anyone that wears animal print underwear.
That's right.
That's your life lesson for the day. Just leave it at that. Next, Spain, 1976. On March 14th, 1976, Vincent and Carmen Correll, a married couple, were driving along the small roads of Spain's Castellon region. Around 10 p.m., the couple found themselves noticing a strange phenomenon in the night sky. They reported a white oval that floated to the left of their own car. Believing at first it might be the headlights of a car on a nearby hill, the Correls only made it a few hundred feet before they believed that they were driving into a luminous tornado of sorts, as an object appeared to rise directly out of the ground, bathing the object with the car's high beams. Mr. Correll was also started to see that what came out of the ground was a person. I suppose that it had two legs because it reminded me of a human profile. However, since they were so close together, it looked more like a column than a human being. The thing was tall and good-looking, wore a close-fitting one-piece outfit. The entity stood on the ground in what Vincent Coral described as a military tin hut position, arms stiffly at its side, ramrod straight, looking at the oncoming vehicle. The couple's initial fascination changed to fear when their car lights went out, leaving them in pitch black. The smell of burning wires soon filled the passenger compartment, and Coral was forced to pull the car over. While this was all happening, the entity vanished into darkness. Vincent and Carmen and their car's electrical system ruined. They were left to wonder what had happened. According to researcher Mr. Benitez, Miss Coral seemed to have a much better recollection of the situation than her husband, adding an interesting detail that the entity's outfit was made of narrow, slightly inflated bands from its neck down to its waist. She went as far as to describe the entity similar to Bibendum, or the world-famous Michelin Man, only less so.
This one is extra weird to me, because
Michelin Tornado Man.
Michelin Tornado Man. So now he's like a earthen druid wizard guy.
God, I hope.
And then, oddly enough, the person describes it as a column and not a person, and then goes on to state, but it's good looking.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I'm not saying I would.
Furthermore, it also reminds me, which is so fucking appropriate. It, like, the whole overall description, if you really think about it, reminds me of them stupid, inflatable wannabe people at dealerships that just flap around.
Wacky, inflatable, flailing arm people?
Yes. That's 100% what it reminds me of.
Yeah, I dig it. I dig it. I love that, like, the woman's like, I mean, he also was covered in inflatable tires.
Yeah. So. And it's also crazy that so far, 3 for 3 now have been 100% different scenarios, right? None of them have had very many commonalities other than the fact they are ringed. Like, they have these rings around them as a person, I guess. And then in at least two of these cases so far, it has been described as an outfit.
Yeah, it almost feels appropriate that it is like a protective suit, like a bubble boy kind of thing.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
Because I'd wear one if I ended up on Earth.
Well, like, yeah.
This place is fucked.
Yeah.
Put my tire suit on, just go.
And
just
naturally, with the way that we are, you are definitely going to want to practice martial arts.
Yes.
To defend yourself. Because if you're different, sometimes you get picked on and you need to karate kick stuff.
I'm kind of disappointed that we're 3 deep now and there is no speedo wearing karate kicking.
Not yet.
Next, we got Minnesota, 1971. It is noted on Phantom and Monsters that in 2015, the host of the Paranormal Arcane Radio received the following letter. Quote, "Hello, when I was in my early teens, I witnessed something that I've never been able to explain. This occurred in northern Minnesota. I've included a picture of what it looked like. I was in the woodlot behind the barn around 9 p.m. It was in July 1971, and I was out there with my collie, Bonnie. Bonnie started barking and running toward the far edge of the woods. I called for her, but she continued running. I started to chase after her. As I got nearer to the small field, Bonnie was laying down looking toward the sky. I looked in the same direction and saw a bright yellow light coming toward us. The light got brighter and larger. Bonnie barked a few more times and then ran back into the woods. She was scared. I was scared also. The light was hovering above me. I almost felt paralyzed. I wanted to run, but I couldn't move. I looked up to the light and started to make out a shape. I have always said that it was, quote, a balloon man. It was round in the body and had segmented arms and legs. Its head was a bright yellow light. I couldn't see a face. Just a bright, blinding light. It hovered for a minute and then moved toward me. It was right in front of me. I'd say it was 8 feet tall and very wide. There was an intense heat coming from it also. I had trouble breathing and it was very uncomfortable. Then it started to hover and circle around me. I thought I was going to pass out. Then suddenly it just disappeared. It simply vanished. As soon as it did, I dropped to the ground and I started shivering. I could move, But I was so cold and felt so sick and weak. I laid there for a long time. I heard my mom calling, and then Bonnie was beside me barking. My mom was frantic and tried to get me to my feet. I couldn't stand up. I was just too weak to move. Soon my older brother showed up, and they carried me back to the house. I was sick in bed for about a week. The doctor said I had a severe reaction to poison sumac, which I know wasn't correct. I had a sore red rash on my face and my arms. The balloon man had burned me somehow, and it had weakened me. As I recuperated, I told my mom what had happened. She was surprised by what I described. She knew I didn't have poison sumac, but she didn't question the doctor. I never told anyone else about my contact with the balloon man, but I told my brothers not to go into the far field at night. They just laughed. Was this a UFO or an alien? Your email was on an extraterrestrial forum, so I thought that I'd write you. I still live near the farm, and there have been a few UFO reports in the area, Marshall County, according to people I know nearby. Thanks for your attention, Roger. So I pulled this. This was posted up on Lon Strickler's Phantom and Monsters. Lon actually emailed. Hey, Holocult. If you've been around a minute, you've heard us talk about Mood, an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. Mood's found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flour for whatever type of buzz you want. If you are new here, I'm talking about Mood.com. Mood has an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo HOLO. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplement that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood that you're looking for. Are you having trouble sleeping? Try the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. You need an extra boost of energy, some mental focus? Try the Morning Delta 9 gummies. If you're having trouble concentrating, you need some deep focus and enhanced creativity? Try the Mind Magic gummies. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. You can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood in usually as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, Hollow Sky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use our promo code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at Mood.com. And that's promo code HOLO. The original poster and got a little bit more information. His dog Bonnie apparently died not long after the event from an acute heart ailment. I mentioned to him that there have been a lot of history of Michelin man-like beings, though I'm not sure if that was exactly what he encountered. It almost sounded like radiation poisoning.
I was literally going to bring that up. I'm also curious to see if you can have heart conditions from radiation poisoning. I would imagine so. Oh, that's weird. I'm Googling it, and it literally says, I put radiation poisoning heart conditions, and it literally goes, like, you know how it fills in the sentence when you search stuff?
Yeah.
It says in dogs.
Oh, that's weird.
So weird that people search that's a thing.
Michelin Man just murdering dogs out here. Don't do that, Michelin Man.
I feel like that is a thing.
Yeah.
So, I'm definitely in the camp that it sounds like some form of radiation poisoning. Because when you were describing, that's 100% where I went when they started describing the rash and stuff. And now the fact that the dog died of acute heart failure, and that seems to be a symptom of dogs being exposed to radiation. Well, I mean, I feel like that assessment's kind of that's on point there.
Kind of lines up. And it is interesting that the experiencer, even at this point, couldn't differentiate that as to if the thing was an actual UFO itself or if it was an alien in a suit.
Oh, yeah, that is weird.
Which is strange. Which, I mean, it could have been like some sort of weird Michelin Man mech suit that was there, because we kind of hear about them in robot suits and shit, too. So,
yeah, it's just bizarre. The whole situation is bizarre. And this is the one where they describe feeling heat and stuff, right? Yeah. So I am also confused now if that would have been the craft itself or the thing.
Which almost further goes back to them trying to, like, attempting to mimic things they're seeing here on the planet.
Right.
Not only in their suits or in their bodies or how we perceive them, but also in their crafts, which is, it's fucking weird. Once you start looking into like these weird entity encounters that not a lot of people speak on, like you hear a lot about the Greys and the Palladians and reptilians, but you get into this weird shit like lion-headed men and like these Michelin Man encounters, like there is some weird shit going on out there.
It's definitely strange and bizarre. It's even more like, these cases in particular are even weirder to me because, like the Grays, for example, that's an easy copycat, right?
Yeah.
Or fabrication. I feel like these ones are slightly harder because if people get ridiculed for speaking on Grays and reptilians, what the fuck you think is going to happen to people that say, I just saw the Michelin Man?
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying too. And the fact that once you start digging, there's so many of them. Like there's got to be, like I said with Bigfoot, like there 99% of Bigfoot sites could be fabrication, but that don't mean 100% are.
Right.
Like these people are seeing something, and the only thing that they can attribute it to is Bibendum, the goddamn Michelin Man.
Yeah.
Which is that statement alone. People are seeing something they can't explain that looks like the Michelin Man is bonkers to me.
Absolutely. Even if you reel it back and the Michelin Man is the closest thing that they are familiar with in describing it, it may not be pound for pound identical, you know what I mean? But it's the closest thing they can come to with making people able of having a visualization of said entity is still
terrifying,
fucking bizarre,
terrifying. I can't imagine driving down the road, seeing some weird light, just stopping to be like, okay, what do I got going on here? Because we've all been there. You've all seen something you can't explain. You slow down, you take a closer look. Oh, it's an airplane. Oh, it's a helicopter. Yada yada yada. You look over there and you're like, oh, it's the Michelin
Man. It's the Michelin Man.
Cool. Got a couple more. This takes place in France in May 1950, 6:30 in the morning. Mr. Perriard and his sister's daughter, 14-year-old Madeline, had gone to check on the cows, accompanied by their dog. As they were crossing the field, the young girl screamed and pointed to the sky, to what at first she thought was the sun. Then they started to hear a strange noise, resembling, and I quote, who. It was a ball of fire that approached them and passed in front of the pair. The object stopped to hover. Both noticed it was in fact a saucer-shaped object, made out of completely translucent material, almost like glass. Inside, they could clearly see a small man, about 1.5 meters in height, with arms on its side, wearing what appeared to be a tight-fitting diving suit. He was absolutely motionless. His suit resembled that of the popular Michelin Man ads. He wore something resembling a motorcycle helmet, with a visor made out of clear plexiglass-like material. It had two pipes that connected to two bottles above its shoulders. Both witnesses felt totally paralyzed during the observation, and felt a heat wave enveloping them. After 2 minutes, the object rose, then turned slightly on itself while going up in successive steps, emitting the same noise as they heard in the beginning. The object disappeared in the direction of Buzzency. A scorched area was found on the ground where they had seen the object.
So now we're starting to get some commonalities. Now things are starting to kind of click around into place.
Yeah.
We're having, it seems like in most cases, everyone's describing this as a suit.
Which kind of eliminates that the Michelin Man is a cryptid.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's kind of bumming.
Kind of disappointing. I agree. Still weird, nevertheless. And this is another one where the people felt heat, possibly, you know, radiation coming from the object. In this particular case, I almost feel like the Michelin Man is doing one of them trench coat flashings. he flies by in his UFO and he just makes it transparent. He's like, hey, look at me. Woo, I'm gone. So it is still, it's bizarre. It's weird too when you consider, like you brought up in the beginning, the fact that aliens, they do have what people refer to as like a mimicking ability, whether it's screen memory or whatever the fuck it is. And because you and me both can sit here and say that the way they're describing this entity or this group of entities and the fact that their suit is designed the way it is, it feels era appropriate. And that's what is kind of throwing me for a loop.
Yeah, that is weird.
It is really, really weird.
It is weird.
That it is so era appropriate, because you wouldn't, unless somebody's making a dumb fashion statement in today's time, you wouldn't see a suit necessarily designed like that.
No, that is weird. And this one has like extras with the almost air tanks and like a breathing apparatus. We've heard it a couple times that these things are wearing helmets, which is fucking weird. It does almost seem like some sort of, it almost makes you wonder if these entities can't handle our atmosphere. Like when we go underwater, we put on the similar suits, you know, to breathe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Almost like it can't.
I could see that. I could see that for sure.
Strange. It's strange. A couple more here. The location of this one is Mountain Home Air Force Base in Idaho. Date 1952, around midnight. The witness was babysitting her brother one Saturday night, and it was approximately midnight while her younger brother slept as she watched television. Suddenly, she heard some sort of noise outside that startled her. So first, she went to one of the bedrooms to look out the window. What she first noticed was the shadow against the streetlight, and then she saw a being standing just across the street. It was tall, well over 6 feet tall, and had these antenna-like protrusions sticking out of its helmet or head. She wasn't the science fiction type of child and never watched any of those movies or shows. She then ran downstairs to look out the front door, and it was still standing there, but now she had a better view. It again had all these antennas sticking out of it, which was the most noticeable feature beside the robotic nature of the way that it moved. The being was described as a cross between the Michelin Man and a 1950s sci-fi robot, but metallic in nature. It had cone-like antennas sticking out from where its ears should have been, if it had any. It moved in a sideways motion to get out of the view, and that's when she became frightened and ran back inside the house. She later told her parents, and her Air Force officer father, of course, laughed it off. This reminds me, the way she described it as the, it reminds me of, hold on one second, the, man, I can't think of his name, the Metal Man. He's got a specific name. Let me look it up. The Falkville Metal Man. If you check him out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Completely reminds me of that. Almost like the Falkville Metal Man looks like a dude wrapped in tinfoil with a diving helmet on with an antenna on the top. When I read this description when I was putting the case together, that's what it made me think of, which, I mean.
But once again, like, it brings me back to my point, the era appropriateness of this.
Yeah.
Because when, like, you think back in that time in the 50s and stuff, their definition and interpretation of a humanoid robot is 10,000 times different than what modern creators would create in regards to a humanoid robot. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that's in the end, so far, at least unless and some of your other cases choose different routes here, I find that to be the most disturbing, is the fact that most of this stuff sounds and appears era appropriate for me.
Yeah, which, I mean, that definitely gives, if it is them playing on the time period, it gives like almost an extra layer of sentience that they're creating something that would be easily explained by the people that see it, you know?
That is gross to think about. Because I don't, you could throw in, which I'm sure some people listening probably are, well, what about military government experiments? Okay, sure. But to contradict that, what about the cases where the entity is extremely small? How do I explain that one?
That was another thing I was going to touch on. Like, there,
because there was a, wasn't there one where they estimated the individual to be about 8 feet tall?
Yeah.
And then you have some
90
that are,
centimeters.
Yeah. You have littler ones.
Yeah. Which is weird. It's weird.
So that's definitely why my brain isn't initially going to like a time traveler or military government experiments.
Yeah. It's almost like, it essentially could be different species or races of beings creating suits that they think is time period appropriate. Like,
which, like you said, that gives that extra layer of like sentience to it that is just kind of extra gross.
Yeah. Like, hey, we're going to go to Earth. Let's try to put together the least suspicious suit we can have.
Yeah.
How about we do the Michelin Man?
I hope that's the conversation.
They go back.
I really do.
They go back and everybody's like, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Not only did we give everyone radiation burns, but they all looked at us like we were crazy. Next we're back to France, which is there's a lot of Europe dates here. A lot of Europe sightings.
I was gonna point that out too, because didn't you say in the beginning that's where the creation of what's his face was?
Yes, but it was almost like 50 to 60 years before the sightings really started to roll off.
Right,
I think
right,
I saw
right.
one in 1928, a kid saw it. But I mean, I'm not trying to downplay what they saw, but if you're a little kid and you see these old versions of the Michelin Man, which are, I mean, they're terrifying.
They're gross.
Yeah. You look at them now and they're terrifying and we're desensitized to like scary shit.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being like 12 years old in 1928? The whole world's crazy anyway, about ready to pop off. And you see these posters and it's immediately like this boogeyman feeling, like, what is this thing? Why is this out here? But we're going to jump into these last few. This one, again, 1954 from France. Mr. and Mrs. Mosen was traveling near Maubeuge. I don't speak French. I apologize.
You definitely speak French.
I do speak French, and I still apologize. They were traveling in their car when they saw a light by the road ahead. As they approached, they saw it come from the interior of an object shaped like a fat shell. This object was about 6 feet in diameter and about 7.5 feet high, and it was resting on three 1-foot-long legs. It was a whitish metallic in color. A wide opening gaped in the front of it on the side facing the road. Within could be seen thick cables and a very stout, space-suited being about 4 feet tall, apparently about to step out of the vehicle. He was encased in, quote, rolls, like the Michelin Tire Man, and wore boots and a very broad helmet. His face was not seen. The Mosens passed within 15 feet of the object. The car's headlights went out, and it came within, or headlights went out when it came within 300 feet of the object. They came back on when it was 300 feet past. The next day, Mr. Mosen found an 8-inch carbonized spot giving off an odor reminiscent of benzene, surrounded by 3 imprints 4 inches deep on a circle of about 1.5 diameter. So they saw a short and stout, fat Dire Man.
I love that these people's description are just so raw.
Yeah.
It's a fat, it was this fat shell, and this thing had rolls all over it like the Michelin Man. Like, it is the most bizarre shit I've ever seen. But once again, this is another story that seems to corroborate the fact that these are, they at least have the technology of the ETs that we are familiar with, because you have the classic trope of the car malfunctions, the headlights go out, which it, that's just like a 101 UFO alien abduction encounter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we've heard cases where it's because the it's possible these crafts put out EMP type things that will interfere with the car's electronics. Then you have people essentially describing radiation burns. Yeah, it does make you feel like this is ET related in some way.
Oh yeah.
Some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. And I mean, you look at a lot of the time period on these things, a lot of them's in the early 50s, which is
it's on par.
Decade of Roswell and shit.
Yeah.
They could be sending these things out to other areas of the world, if just to check on the people, maybe check on the weaponry that they have. I mean, there was a lot of shit going on within that decade.
Absolutely.
You know, I feel like the bombs that were dropped probably sent out a red flag to a lot of our intergalactic neighbors. So they probably did come in full force checking shit out.
Yeah.
We're back in France again, 1955. Let me see when this one was. That was November of 54. This is May of 55. Mr. Droget, a professor and an employee of the girls' college in Denon, was returning home after seeing a movie. He was residing at the college, and it was at the time when he opened. Where am I at here? Okay. He was residing at the college, and it was at the time when he opened the metallic gate of one of the college yards when he heard a noise and was struck in the face by some kind of dazzling beam of blue-green light. He was frightened, and his knees started to shake. He thinks that maybe his hair even stood up on end. He was very particular in his sighting here. He also felt kind of a continuous vibration. After a few seconds, he became accustomed to the light and then saw an enormous, completely motionless and silent object, stationary approximately 1.5 meters above the ground in the college yard. There were two beings, which did not seem to pay him any attention, moving about close to the craft. They wore some kind of diving suit, which resembled, quote, the Michelin Bibendum, had very bulky helmets, gloves, and they were both of a metallic gray color. On their belly, they carried a black box from which many wires protruded. They were approximately 1.6 meters tall. One of them was leaning on the ground and seemed to pick up stones at the gravel path. The other seemed to be checking out the surroundings and had approached a window which led to an old boiler room. Mr. Droget wanted to run away but was frozen in the spot as if he were paralyzed. He wondered whether it came from fear or if it was caused from the light that was aimed on him. As he stood there, he had the distinct feeling that there could have been a third being inside the craft, as he felt observed, and maybe this third being was operating the beam of light that was on him. He thinks he stood there for about a quarter of an hour, observing the operations of the beings, noting that the time appeared to slow down to him. Finally, two beings returned to their machine. At this point, Droget distinguished what appeared to be a central black hole on the underside of the craft. From there, a sort of metallic ladder of only a few rungs hung down. When the beings climbed into the object using the ladder, he clearly heard the metallic noise, which seemed to come from the contact of the soles of their feet to the ladder. When the beings entered the object, the ladder went up. He then felt a kind of aspiration, a drought-like suction of air from the craft. It rose up, revealing a circular form. It then seemed to rotate. When the craft was higher than the level of the top of the trees, all the lights died out, and he could not see it anymore. At this point, he was able to move again, and he rushed home. This one is interesting because you hear other alien encounters where they not only have the black box on their chest, but they're also almost like they're taking samples of the surroundings.
I was gonna say, it reminds me so much the general description of the robot alien episode I did,
yep,
where they were investigating the plant life and the rocks and everything else in the area. It's so fucking weird. It's even weirder because, like, it checks a lot of UFO trope, folklore, whatever. And at the same time, it doesn't. You know, it checks so many boxes, but at the same time, it's carving its own lane.
Yeah.
In the UFO lore.
Because you do hear about it, but they like the box and the taking of samples, it's not like a commonality in UFO encounters.
Yeah.
But there is enough to make it not a rarity.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that to me is what ties the phenomenon together. When you have like Keel was so meticulous about trying to find the less common aspects and link them together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if not taken away from anybody's experiences, but if you have 100 people saying they were abducted by aliens, and 98 of them said that they were the classic gray aliens, but you had two of them that said they looked like the Michelin Man, that had black boxes on them, that were doing like collecting samples and looked like robots, or something just out of character. But there was more than one. Those are connections that start like leading you down these weird like esoteric paths as to what the phenomena is, what it's connected to, and I just feel like that you have to look at those one-offs and start finding two-offs, then you find three-offs, and it just becomes like it takes on a life of its own. Don't know where I was going with that, but anyway. I have one last one here. Takes place in England, Newbury, Berkshire. Probably going to – all our English listeners, Helen, everybody, apologize if I said that wrong.
We speak English, thank you.
Yeah. Yes. English. For England, America.
That's right.
The witness, who was 13 or 14 years old at the time, was at a boarding school 2 miles from Greenham Common Air Base. One day, a friend decided to run away. The night that she did this, the witness was concerned for her safety, and after lights out, she watched from her dormitory window. It would have been sometime after 9 p.m. She watched for a long time. She saw her friend go down the drive at least the length of 2 hockey pitches. I don't know what a hockey pitch is.
Me neither.
English friends, tell us what a hockey pitch is. Then disappeared out of sight. For some reason, she stayed watching the main road that ran past the end of the school grounds. Suddenly on the road, looking to her left, she saw a very tall figure that can only be described as a Michelin Man. It must have been tall due to the distance involved and the fact that she had such a clear view. She watched as it walked up the slope of the road to the crest of the hill and out of sight. She remembers thinking that someone must be on their way to a fancy dress party, but how strange that they didn't go by car. And what would the other traffic on the road think when they saw it? At the same time, she didn't recall seeing any traffic on the road, usually always being busy. It being a main link through town. The other strange thing is that although she was now feeling cold, she doesn't remember going back to bed. She simply remembers being back in bed again. She was not asleep during this experience, and it was crystal clear, absolute reality. She has no explanation for it. This particular experience was found in womenesoterica.blogspot.com. Again, this one has a rather strange aspect to it, as she's watching her friend run away down the road to escape this boarding school, and you in what has to be a small amount of time, she sees this figure approach almost the same spot where she loses sight of her friend. Where is this thing? Was this thing watching from beyond?
You know? That's a gross thought.
Yeah. And the fact that it came out like almost at the same time that she passed could have been I don't know.
I don't either. I just know that like there's so many similarities between these stories, and yet not many of them are ultra consistent either. Because in this one in particular, you have the report of another tall one.
Yeah.
So, like, the height just goes up and down like crazy with these encounters. They fit shitloads of UFO lore, you know, with this one clearly suggests some type of abduction situation. Yes. Like the missing times, all of that stuff. So I'm convinced that whatever these things are, it has to be related to some type of ET phenomenon. It has to. And in most cases, it's described as a suit, which is weird, but not out of the realm of possibility. Because we've heard other stories of entities wearing suits. However, in most cases, it's described as more of like a form-fitting suit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a skin-tight situation.
It could be just like I said, different species trying to mimic something that they've seen that's time appropriate. Like you hit, when you said that, I'm like, oh shit, that makes sense.
I think it does make the most sense because the era appropriate thing has got it. Like for me, aside from the fact that it's described as Michelin Man, the era appropriateness is the biggest curveball in this for me.
And I think the Michelin Man thing is just the only thing they can. It might not even resemble what we put together as a Michelin Man, you know, what we see yep. in the ads and shit, but it's the only thing that they can compare it to.
Bro, I think, like I think segmented without bodies. Question, that's what it is. Yeah. I think the Michelin Man is the closest thing they can come to for helping other people visualize what they saw.
100%.
I really do think that.
I think that's, that's got to be what it boils down to, because you're trying to put some sort.
Yeah, because describe that without the reference of the Michelin Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's like a dude. It's kind of like a dude.
It's exactly how I described the Michelin Man at the beginning. Like tires stacked
yes. up,
inflated, you know, like inner tubes connected together to a guy with the helmet.
And without that description of the Michelin Man, imagine someone seriously describing this thing to you without the existence of the Michelin Man.
I almost wish that they didn't attribute it to it, because I feel like while I know they're doing their best to describe it, I almost feel like it does us a disservice, because it's kind of like an umbrella that they throw it under. Like you're not getting a whole lot of the difference when they just said it resembled the Michelin Man.
Right.
You know, if we could go back and find and specifics.
To kind of stack on to your point, it also in a roundabout way, not to say that they shouldn't have described it that way, because that is probably literally the best reference they had. But the fact that it's labeled the way that it is, I feel like utterly annihilates any credibility in the encounter.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Cause like I said, you're going to be scrutinized enough by talking about a gray or a reptilian or a Nordic or whatever. But the fact that you are legitimately saying and in most cases, if you think about it, they're not even saying that it is the Michelin Man. They're saying it looks like the Michelin Man.
And in it's almost like, again, it goes back to that area of sentience. It almost is pre-planned.
I kind of feel that, dude.
Because when you see something like that and you immediately attribute it to the Michelin Man, which is a common figure, again, especially in the 50s, it's already kind of changed the way it's portrayed. It almost disarms any sort of malevolence. You're like, oh, it looks like the Michelin
Man. It's the Michelin Man.
Like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yes. Yeah. Because you see the Stay Puft, you're not going to be scared of it. Unless it's, you know, Ghostbusters, Skyscraper Tall.
When Ray said it, when Ray talked about it, he's like, I thought of the one thing that I thought could never hurt me, you know? I thought of something that brought me comfort was the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Exactly.
When they're coming in like, hey, it's just an old tire boy. Don't worry about it.
Right, exactly. And I do think there's something to that, because it is so, it's such a fucking curveball.
It's
for it bizarre. To be so... It just aligns so much with the times that I don't know. For some reason, my brain won't go past that.
It is bizarre. I hope someone listens to this, that there is someone out there with a Michelin Man encounter. Please.
I hope so too.
Please. Yeah, that's it for the show. Again, I've got a bunch of other encounters that I've gathered together. I'm going to record them myself, pop them over on the Patreon for anybody that is interested, wants to kind of get a part two, listen to them, see if there's any other connections. That'll be going up. Thanks for hanging out with us on this wonderful Monday. Check us out at all our socials. You know the drill. Shout out to our listener in Malawi that had us at number one.
That's hell dope. Yes.
Until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird. And if you see the Michelin Man, you need to let us know, because we got to figure this out.